What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is a Tailgate Talks, and tonight is Thursday, October 31st. So we want to wish you all a happy and safe Halloween. Hope that your parties over this past weekend or this upcoming weekend or whatever you're doing tonight on Halloween is fun. Tonight, we're recording. We're recording episode number 239, in which we're talking about the Texas Tech loss to TCU on Saturday. We've got a lot to get into with that. We've got Iowa State coming up this weekend. We've got Communication Gate going on right now. And we've got Texas Tech basketball season tipping off soon. So lots to get into this week. So let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, Saturday came and went. The Texas Tech Red Raiders played a football game, and the Texas Tech Red Raiders add another loss to the record with a 35-34 loss to TCU in Fort Worth on Saturday. A brutal loss in which the Red Raiders started the game down 14-3. Thought you might have just were going to get blown out this game, then turned the game around. Ended up getting a 17-point lead in this game, just to watch that 17-point lead slip away late. TCU takes the lead on an 85-yard touchdown pass. The Red Raiders can't get a field goal due to some play calling that we will dive into. And, well, the Red Raiders fall in Fort Worth. And so before we get into some of the coaching decisions, the offense and defense, just what were your thoughts on this game on Saturday?
Yeah, this is perfect game for a Halloween episode. This is a very trick or treat type of game. Yeah. You know, the first quarter was definitely scary. Then the second and third quarter were great. We got lots of candy and lots of treats. You know, we were playing awesome. 28-0 run. Defense was playing, balling out, getting turnovers. Offense seemed great.
Yeah.
And then the fourth quarter was, we got tricked. and it turned bad. The night turned bad on us. And we turned into pumpkins again. But, I mean, I just – the second and third quarter were great, like I just said. So my thoughts aren't even on the first quarter slow start, because you made up for it and got better. My focus and thoughts are in that fourth quarter when both coordinators, like, shit the bed.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a one-sided argument. I feel like Kitley, I'm going to kind of defend him. Kitley takes more of the hate from people and online and stuff, but our defense is bad. It has been bad all year. Yeah. Even if we get turnovers, they're still giving up like some of the most points in the country and yards and whatnot. And we just super blew it in the fourth quarter there. Like, I don't know. And then even from like game to game, we've seen us be Jekyll and Hyde, to go with another Halloween reference, like different variations of how we're trying to play things. And so like it goes on both of them for sure with that fourth quarter collapse, because being up 17 late in the third and then 14 or 13 late in the fourth, you should have that game pretty locked up.
Yeah.
And so that was disappointing to see. In that regards, we'll get into some specifics in a minute. Also, I'm kind of tired of the coach speak from McGuire. Dude, I already know. I like watching the press conferences, but now I feel like I'm just getting the same thing every week. It's kind of like when Beard was here. He just respects every opponent. And like something goes screwy for the football team, and McGuire, he always says he's the most upset one.
Yeah.
And he's lost the most. Yeah. No one's more upset than me, and I'm going to get it fixed. Well, now I want to just know, what are we going to do to get it fixed, coach? That sounds great. And I actually, he probably is pissed off and upset, you know? And like, these are the games that really hurt when you should have won, especially against your in-state rival that you're directly recruiting against like this.
With your second string true freshman quarterback in the game too.
So, like, that's where I'm kind of at. Is like, this one to me hurts more than the Baylor game. I've always been a fan of, or I don't know, fan. I've always been the one throughout all of playing sports and growing up and whatnot. I'd rather get blown out and my ass kicked and know I'm not even in the game than to lose by 1, 2, 5 points and be right there. Cause then that's like, well, what could I've done, you know, previously to make up for that 1 point?
Yeah.
I feel like those hurt more. And like you losing back-to-back Baylor and TCU games, like that hurts recruiting. It does. Say what you want, but like those are your direct competition.
Yeah.
In conference, in state. And so it really sucks to blow a lead like that, especially when TCU's pretty down and things are not going well over there. And Baylor too.
Yeah, that's the hard part is like we went into that bye week 5-1 with games against two of the worst teams in the Big 12 conference coming up. And you felt really good about those games. And then you come out the other side and you've lost both of them. Now, like you said, I would rather lose like we did against Baylor every time rather than this game against TCU that's got you questioning almost everything the coaching staff is doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was just a piss poor coaching performance. And like you said, it's all on all sides of the ball. It's defense has got to figure out how to get stops there when they shown the ability in that game from the second quarter for the majority of the third quarter to get stops. But all of a sudden you're just getting gashed left and right. They get a penalty to erase a touchdown. And then the next play is a touchdown. Then they get the ball back and it's an 85-yard pass for a touchdown. It's just no resistance at all on the defensive side of the ball. The offense's inability to, you know, put the game away. Which we constantly complain about with Kittley and this offense is just no killer instinct from them, no ability.
You are last in defense in the Big 12. Now that I pull it up.
Last in defense.
Not surprising. The most touchdowns by 7.
Yeah. And your offense
is the best.
But
it's
I think
the best in the Big 12. Technically.
I think it's the best in the Big 12 just because you have ACU and North Texas games in there. I think if you subtract
these
those
are Big 12 stats.
These are as only Big 12 games. You're the best.
Yep. We'll talk about that more as we dive into offense defense. But yeah.
God, do other Big 12 offenses just really suck this year? Because if you're the number one in just Big 12 scoring, that's ridiculous. Because I haven't seen us be really all that awesome on offense. But I don't know. I just both sides of the ball are terrible. Your offense isn't built to outscore your defense giving up this many touchdowns. Your defense is just Jekyll and Hyde, like you said. Like in the second quarter, they looked amazing. You're like, oh my gosh, TCU can't move the ball. You're getting turnovers.
Even the third quarter was great.
You get 3 turnovers. You stop them on a fourth down. Your offense can't score the entire time you're getting those stops, it feels like. So I just don't know. This game makes me question this coaching staff. This game made me question Joe McGuire and does he. You know, just further and further, like farther removed from thinking that he's the guy who can maybe turn this around unless he's able to get some absolute stud OCDCs in the room that can make life easier for him. He's just the GM. He's not the X's and O's guy in this. And I wonder, like you said, these coach speak press conferences are growing tired. I can only imagine what the players are feeling like when he's giving his oorah speeches. Like that probably is growing tired on the players now. And so it's frustrating all around for Red Raider fans right now. And things don't look like they're going to get better. And we've got a tough one upcoming Saturday against Iowa State. Doesn't look fun to us, but we'll get into that one later. I've got a top 5 worst decisions.
This will be fun.
We'll get to the coaching staff. And this is going to be, it's probably going to be more offensive specific because I thought the offensive decisions making down the stretch was dumb. Now let's keep in mind the defense was just god awful, but I think some of the decisions that went into the game, didn't sync up with what the defense was doing. I sometimes feel like Joey McGuire might be watching a different football game than the one that we're watching, which is questionable. But the fifth dumbest decision I thought this coaching staff made in this game was kicking a 50-yard field goal with your field goal kicker, who I think his career long was 41 yards. Meanwhile, the guy who's had a few 50-yard field goal attempts, Gino Garcia, was not the player that you kicked that field goal with. Now, it might have at the time seemed like not that big a deal. It was in the first half. You were only up 17-14. It was just going to make it, you know, a 20-14 game. But you ultimately, you lose by one. If you had those 3 points, this game could have looked a whole lot different. What do you think about that decision-making there to not go with Gino Garcia, who's been your guy to be able to make those distance field goals, and go with the guy who hasn't proven that he can in a game?
Yeah, and when you put it that way and literally compare the two in their history, like, it should be a pretty easy decision. Like, that's where McGuire has to step up and say, we got to kick this with the proven leg, not keep doing this committee carousel of kickers just because they haven't missed yet. And yeah, like you said, timing doesn't matter. What makes me mad on that drive is that we get a turnover pretty deep in their territory, or in their territory.
Like the 40-yard line or so.
And you got a chance to go do something, and you literally do nothing with it.
Yeah, that's
and that's what makes me mad.
Yeah, that was a frustrating part. I think we were tweeting out at that time. You got the 17-14 lead. You got three straight stops from the defense, and you had three opportunities before half to go extend that lead. Could not do it. Specifically, this, you know, missed field goal there, an opportunity to go up 20-14. You had the ball after half. That game might look a lot different if you just kick it with the guy who's proven that he can make a 50-yard field goal before, and Gino Garcia, who's been nails for you this season. That made no sense to me. I thought that was a really stupid decision. Dumbest decision number four, just going conservative in the fourth quarter, I thought was a really stupid decision by Joey, by Zach Kittley. I thought your offense was really cooking. Will Hammond comes in, scores on the first two drives. And then I thought you decided, and this is a term we'll probably use often, you tried to play to not lose this game instead of going for the win. I thought the play calling got super conservative there in the fourth quarter on both sides of the ball. It felt like the defense was trying to – I don't know what the defense was trying to do, but the trying to get to the quarterback and put pressure felt like – in a game that you had actually gotten three sacks to that point, a game that you had created turnovers, you stopped being aggressive on the defensive side of the ball, it felt like. Stopped being aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. There's a couple drives where he's like, you just go score a touchdown, you win this game. You're just unable to do that. What are your thoughts about the conservative play on both sides of the ball from the Red Raiders there, specifically in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it's like we get to the conservative part's fine, but we just got swing way too far into it and think like we don't even need first downs anymore. And it kind of goes to the fact that our O-line is so beat up and not good to begin with, that we don't have any faith in being able to run it down people's throats.
Yeah.
And like two of the plays that I wrote down for this, that we're going to talk about in a little bit, go right into that. Like, you should be able to run the ball whenever you want to with your all-star running back that you have. And so just being going and hiding just because you have a 13-point lead is stupid.
Yeah, it made no sense to me. Like, they gave the ball to Taj fine, but I thought Jacoby Williams was looking pretty good. I don't know why you didn't give him the ball more. I thought Will Hammond looked good when he was throwing the ball. I don't know why you weren't trying to stretch the field there. You kind of settled for some wide receiver screens where some plays went wrong. He had that kind of fumbled snap that hurt you on one of the drives. But I thought he just looked really good in this game, and at certain times you're just like, man – they don't really know what to stop right now. They can't stop Taj or the running game, and they can't stop these passes from Will Hammond. And you just kind of settled, let them stop you, I thought. And so that was frustrating to me. And then that'll get into kind of our top three dumbest decisions here, which I'm ranking this as the third dumbest decision. I think a lot of people will have it as the first dumb decision in this game, but I think the other two put you in this situation.
Okay.
Third dumbest decision for me was the quarterback draw with Will Hammond, who again is your second string quarterback, a true freshman quarterback, not necessarily a big dude at quarterback. And you ran a QB draw right up the middle on third and seven with him, which resulted in the fumble recovery for TCU. This was one of the all-time dumbest coaching plays that I've ever seen. I've seen them defend it. I think that's the most frustrating part to me right now, is that they're trying to defend this play call. I've seen the film. I've seen the play. Someone break it down. Yes, you should have had this one. The linebacker made a great play, but well, I do not understand why you do not give the ball to Taj here. If you're just going to settle for a field goal, why not give it to the most reliable player on your team?
Yes.
Instead of keeping it in your true freshman quarterback who's seeing his first real playing time. I don't blame Will Hammond on this one. I just think he got put in a real shitty situation. And the writing's right there. Give it to Taj. If you're going to be conservative and just going to go for the field goal here, just give the ball to freaking Taj Brooks, who's the best player on your damn team, and let him carry you to the – get you to the field goal. Like, I do not understand it.
This is probably my number one. I have 3 points. You just made me think of another one. So the film part, while that's fresh in my mind, somebody broke it down. They're like, oh, this is supposed to happen. We're pulling – guard and tackle are supposed to get this. And the fact that we're using Taj to go block a freaking cornerback is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Instead of using him in the play. Like, so dumb. But you're on your backup left tackle and your backup right guard, and they're the ones making the critical block here?
Yeah.
That's what didn't get pointed out in all that. And it made me so mad. I saw the play.
I didn't even know
that. And they were like, oh, in the middle linebacker, you know, he just made a great play. And I went and rewound and watched it again. I go, well, yeah. So we got backup left tackle and backup right guardian. And they both missed the guy. Of course he made a good play.
Maybe not rely on the two backup players to make the most critical blocks.
You're taking your best player out of the play.
Yep.
Because you just sent him far left. That block didn't even matter.
Didn't even matter.
You just took him out of the play.
Because you're running it up the middle where your tiny quarterback's going to have to go up against, you know.
And then
the
your critical blocks are backup linemen that you don't even want playing this year.
Ugh.
So that made me mad when the film got brought up on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that didn't even get pointed out by most people. Nope. I'm like, the middle linebacker made a regular play. I wouldn't even give him a ton of credit. He just stepped up and just
ran right to where he was supposed to.
Yeah. And
not to mention, the other big part of this for me is you had already lost Barron to an injury this game, and you're throwing you're running a quarterback power. Didn't we not learn our lesson last year when we played West Virginia and Tyler Shuck broke his leg? And then you've altered Barron's career by running him on a quarterback power in that game. Like,
yeah. I was already trying to get my thoughts together. I'm glad you helped me out there. Point number two. How freaking many times has Kittley ran a quarterback run, whether it be draw, power, counter, I don't care what you want to call this play, with a backup quarterback when you've already lost your starter, or an inexperienced quarterback, which is also stupid, or a guy that's already hurt or been hurt previously.
Yeah.
Like, how many times have we seen that in 2.5 years? Way too many.
Way too many.
One is enough. We've seen it a lot. So the fact that you're running that just because, oh, well, the box and the numbers and this and that, like, bullshit. You put Taj out basically far left and took him out of the play to block a corner that was not involved.
You have the box and the numbers. Give it to freaking Taj Brooks.
And then that leads to my third point. If you're going to do this, and you're centering the ball to get a field goal, and you want to run this, or you want to run it down their throats, put in Cam Brown or put in Conyers to run that. Don't run it with Will.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do this, I'm fine with that. But put in the bigger guys that do this better, that are actually a threat, and also to not get Will Hammond hurt.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking about. It's like, Conyers has done this before. Why wasn't Conyers the guy? I guess it would give the play away if you're going to run it with Conyers.
Who cares?
But I don't care. Like, run it
you're
with
giving the play away, letting Will run it up the middle.
Just like, golly. Give it to somebody who, like, even Jacoby Williams, who was your freshman running back who looked good in this game. It's just like, you had five different dudes I would rather have the ball in the situation than probably your smallest quarterback on the roster who's in his first real game management, and he's trying to ball out and get you this win. Like, all he needs to do there, you needed to communicate, just fall down if things go bad, but he tries to make a little extra something out of nothing there that ends up being what.
And of course, a guy 100 pounds more.
Yeah, it's a
300 and hits perfectly the helmet on the ball. Like, yeah. So,
I mean, we had a top three of dumbest decisions in that one play there.
Yeah, I literally hit three main points. I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
I just laughed after this play. I was like, just of course, like that's the play when you're trying to seal the game, and not even, which will go into my dumbest. My second.
Also, that was not a targeting on that defensive tackle.
Yeah,
it was a glancing blow. Like,
yeah,
his people head was... were like trying to point that out, and it's like his helmet barely touched the face mask and then went down. Like, you got to have significant contact there, guys.
Yeah, I just hit the ball right on the money. And then the other big thing about this play before we get into dumb decision number two is Joey was more focused on the unclear recovery than the actual like stupid play call. Like the accountability of this play has just been ridiculous that they, you know, I think any other coach would come out and be like, yeah, that was my bad. That was a bad play call on our side. We thought we had the opportunity, but yeah, in hindsight, this was a bad play call. But instead, he's bitching about the refs making a conclusive fumble recovery on TCU, and it's just like, I mean, come on, man, what are we doing here? Just no accountability at all. My number two dumbest decision will play into, and this is why I have it higher than this one because it played into that situation, was just not going for the first down on that drive there. I didn't understand the play calling. Why? All right, you got that first down. You know TCU has three timeouts left. Mm-hmm. Goes back into the defensive side of the ball. Your defense hasn't played well. Why are you just willing to settle and run the ball three times, kick a field goal on fourth down, which would have given them like a minute and a half to go down and just all they need to do is get a field goal to beat you there. That was probably the most baffling thing to me in that decision was why didn't you – all we got to do is get a first down and we can run the clock out and kick a field goal to win the game. Shouldn't that be your thought process there? Why wasn't that the thought process? I think that's fucking stupid. I think that's absolutely fucking stupid from your coaching staff that you're just like, okay, we're not going to piss this one away. We're going to be ultra conservative here. And ultimately, like you said, you weren't playing to win the game there. You're playing to not lose by just settling for a field goal, and nothing that you've seen in that fourth quarter made you think that your defense was somehow going to get a stop there. And that TCU was, they might've scored on the first play again. Like, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I'm glad you brought that up too, because I don't mind playing for the field goal at the end there, but you need the timing to work out, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would also like to play to win the game.
Yes.
I would play to not have Will in a bad spot to where he throws him and makes him turnover. But you can still run most of your playbook, I feel like, from what Will has showed you for a quarter and a half or two, and play for first downs. Maybe you get a touchdown out of it and force TCU to have to go score a touchdown. And that's where I have problems with it, is you weren't playing to score a touchdown, like, ever. Mm-mm. And then that led you just – to not even getting a first down, which just basically messed everything up. It's like, I was okay once you got to the 2-minute warning and, all right, we're going to come out and be conservative. That, like, fine, but we need a first down to do this.
Yeah, you got
to
play for the
first down. You got to be aggressive a little bit in your conservativeness.
Yeah, if you're playing for the field goal there, you've got to play for the field goal with, like, little to no time remaining.
You want some more yards. That was like a 45-yarder still.
Yeah, that too. It wasn't a gimme. You already missed a field goal from 5 yards further. Like, mm-hmm. And who's to say that they might truck Rex Burkhead out there again? Like, you don't know. You don't know what kind of decision they're going to make. I thought it was really stupid that not try to get that first down. Like, if you don't get it there, okay. But you just completely were like, all right, we're fine with this, and we're going to, you know, just try to center the ball and kick a 45-yard field goal, mm-hmm. give them a minute and a half, and being fine with that just absolutely shocked me.
Yeah,
I think you texted me, you're playing for a field goal here. And I said, that's what losers do. And that's why I think you lose that game.
And like I said, I'm fine with it, but you just played it wrong. Like, you got to play it right and play it better.
Like, if I'm on, and we've used this before, and I know CFB 25 is completely different, but that's me on CFB 25. I'm making sure I'm kicking that field goal with, like, no time left on the clock, not giving them an option of having to go up against my defense again. And then number one, the dumbest decision, I think, for me, and this just completely blew me away from an analytical standpoint and what Joey has stood on in his entire career, was not going for fourth and two when you had the ball inside the 10-yard line. I don't know the exact yard line.
I have that on my list. We were fourth and three from the six.
Fourth and three from the six-yard line.
Up 10 already in the fourth quarter.
Not going for it there is, I think, one of the most confusing things I've seen in my time watching Texas Tech football, specifically in the Joey McGuire era. I tweeted it out later on that evening. You've had a team that's gone for fourth downs, fourth and two and fourth and three in your own territory with a lead against Oregon and TCU last year. You did that twice. You've had the Washington State game this year where you went for it on fourth down in your own territory several times. You have this game. You're up by 10. The pros outweigh the cons here. If you get the first down, more time ticks off the clock. If you score on this drive, you're up by three possessions, and it basically is impossible for TCU to come back at that standpoint. The con is, if you don't get it, now they got to go 95 yards to score, which analytically seems pretty great, right? Like, you're giving them terrible field position if you don't get it. You're hoping that your defense can at least make them have to work to drive. Time comes off the clock at least. But I just didn't get this from an analytical standpoint of changing the game from a two-possession game to a two-possession game when you're right there and have the ability to basically win the game in one play. It just shocked me because Joey's been so analytical. Make up your mind. Are you analytical or not, Joey? Sure. I don't get it.
I don't hate the making it a 10-point to a 13-point game part. Just, you know, in a vacuum by itself.
Yeah.
Because your defense had played really good up until then. You're making them score two touchdowns. You didn't know you were going to give them up in like three plays.
Nope.
But so there was that part. Like, your math is going up at that point. But you're at the six. It's not like you're at the 36 or the 26. Yeah. Like, you're right there. And like, yeah, everything's in your favor. This is where you run the Jalen Conyers package. Like,
yeah.
Trot him out there and have him fall for 3 yards. Like,
yeah, or just give it to Taj and see if he can, like, or trust your quarterback who they haven't been able to stop the whole game yet. Like, he came in and it was touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah.
And this was looking like another touchdown drive until you decided to kick that field goal here. Like,
and then this also kind of goes back to that point of you don't trust your offensive line so much that you won't even go for a play like this when they know you're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
And you can't do it and get scared to do anything that you just go kick it. Like, that's been our weakness this year. His hero line is so bad that you can't rely on them for anything. And I understand that, but at some point you got to bow up and try to do it and like put Conyers back there. And he's going to be your best option at that point. Run the Wildcat with Taj, run an option with him. I don't know. But get the ball in one of those two guys' hands and have them fall. If they're a yard short, they got to go 95 yards.
Yeah. I just, like, the thinking makes no sense to me there. And no one's explained that one. No one's come out and said why we didn't go for it there. I just think you have a chance to win the game. And that's, again, you're playing to not lose by kicking the field goal instead of, like, we got an opportunity here. We don't know if we're going to be able to get another touchdown on the board. We have a chance right here to go win this game. Let's do it. Like, have the confidence in your staff. Have the confidence in the play calling, in your quarterback, and Jalen Conyers and Taj or whoever, what the literally play call, like, is there.
Can you get 2 yards when the game is on the line and it matters?
Yeah.
I guess the answer is no.
I guess the answer is no. And maybe that tells you where this coaching staff's at. But I just don't get – I don't know what Joey's at. And also – like, yeah, the defense just got carved up the drive before, so I wasn't screaming, like, your defense can get stops right now. Like, I was getting nervous on that one, and I thought you just kind of laid down, and you were like, all right, we're content with just the 3 points here. And now, looking back on it, I obviously think that's a really bad decision. Me and my dad were kind of just baffled that we didn't go for it there. Like, what?
Yeah, that's when you need to.
Oh, like I'm tired of watching us go for fourth downs in our own territory, but we won't do it on like the fucking 6 yard line. Yep, come on. So that's frustrating to me. So that's kind of the five dumb decisions. There's obviously, I think they're all decisions that needed to be answered. And I don't think we got any answers on it. Like you said, it's just too much coach speak. It's not anybody owning up to, the mistakes that were made and the mistakes that have put you now at 5-3, where you're looking at probably being 5-4, maybe 5-5, and having to fight for a bowl game, which is getting pretty brutal. But let's kind of talk about maybe the one bright point in this game. What were your thoughts on Will Hammond and having to get thrust into action there at the beginning of the second half? Barron just fell over and, of course, hurt himself because our team is made of glass. But I thought he came in and I thought he played really well. What'd you think about Will?
Yeah, we would have a quarterback hurt himself in a play, meaningless play like that. But I was surprised with how good Will Hammond looked.
Yeah.
Like, man, as a true freshman, it's only been here for like 10 months. Like, he did not look like it at all. And was up at the line of scrimmage, changing plays, calling plays. You wouldn't have known any different of who's out there. And then some of like the RPO throws, like that one he had to Coy.
Yeah.
Where he had to wait about half a second more and then threw it when literally there's a straight line of a defender, Coy, and a safety behind him.
Yeah.
And he just anticipated the throw and it was perfect. And like the first two drives, like you said, he scored touchdowns on.
The throw to Coy and for the touchdown was a beautiful throw.
Beautiful.
Perfect. And so like,
I feel like you didn't have to do anything different with him in. Which we haven't been able to say in the past 2 years.
Opened up the offense more.
You know, I was very impressed and surprised how good he looked.
I was too. I thought, oh my God, the future is so bright with this kid. Now what do you do? Like, I obviously know that Barron is healthy and I think he's in line to start on Saturday. But
yeah, I think you're still trying to redshirt.
I know you're still trying to
eventually.
He looked so good, man. That ball just popped. The offense looked completely different, I thought, with him in there. I was like, wow, he's making the right reads. He's getting the ball out. There's a little more zip on the ball. He perfect placement on some of these passes. Like, I'm sorry, but Barron throws that ball like 5 yards over Coy's head there or throws it to the defender. Like, you look at the offense, you had one decent drive with Barron the entire game. Other than that, like, you couldn't score from the 4 yard line when Harvey Dyson got a forced fumble. You had to go fake field goal to score. Hammond came in and it was touchdown, field goal. Like,
yep.
Like, all of a
sudden, you haven't had that good a second half scoring all year.
And the decision making was great. The throws was great. It definitely makes me wonder. If I'll say it goes poorly, if Colorado goes poorly, I think you can still start Will the last two games of the season. Like, so if you lose these next two games.
He's only played UNT in this.
Yeah, so you can play him Oklahoma State, West Virginia if you're needing to get a bowl. I think, like, that's what I'm thinking is if you're 5-5 after those two games,
oof,
might be Will Hammond time. Because the dude looked good.
He did.
Anything else we need to get in defense? I felt like we've already kind of ripped them pretty well.
But the only defense thing I wanted to bring up, because we talked a lot about offensive situational stuff, to kind of go – let me stay on offense real quick. I got two more points. Like I said, I was going to defend Kittley a little bit. Statistically, he is a really good offensive coordinator. We have a shit ton of yards. We lead the league in points. We have the most touchdowns. The most field goals, the most points. But where I think we need to pinpoint our argument is his situational awareness sucks.
Yeah. It's empty stats. It's
the
empty
quarterback runs with backups or fragile quarterbacks are stupid, or that you have the numbers or whatever, and you're going to take your all-star running back out of the play because of that. Like, those are stupid play calls and meaningless. It's not affecting our game that much or the defense's game that much. You don't have like a Shador Sanders type quarterback over there, like super athlete. And then the other thing is like when you get turnovers, especially in with great field position, positive field position.
Capitalize.
Capitalize. Be aggressive. Yeah. Don't just sit on it and be like, oh, well, these are the plays I had written down. I have to run them. Like, let's do something with that. And so, like, that's where I want us to make sure us as Texas Tech people, Kelly's getting the yards. He's getting the points. You can't argue that part. Where we need to pinpoint and get in other people's heads is his situational awareness is god-awful. He doesn't capitalize on positive turnovers and situations or set timing like our previous game with scoring right after the two-minute warning instead of a minute later. And so, like, that's where I want people to get behind on that. Do you have anything on that? I really want to get that off my chest.
It's good stat. Like, so that's my example for it. It's like empty stats to me. It's like the NBA.
They're not empty, though, when you're scoring. That's the only argument I have there.
It's a little empty to me because whenever it comes up of like, all right, cool, you've been able to score, but now you absolutely positively need to score. Do you trust him to go score?
Situational parts suck, yes.
No, like, I don't trust him at all. Like, you look at every single game this season, like, you've had opportunities to put teams away. Arizona State couldn't do it, kept Arizona State in the game. You know, Cincinnati, you had an opportunity to go put them away. You don't. You give them a chance to get back in and, you know, almost send the game to overtime. Arizona, you had, you know, great opportunity at the start of the half to go build on a lead. You don't. The offense kind of falls apart there, lets Arizona back into the game. You know, Baylor, you had multiple opportunities to go grab a lead and you couldn't ever do it. This game, you had three opportunities before the end of the half to go build a lead. If you did, if you scored there and then had the start to the second half that you did, like, this game might've been out of reach already. And then of course at the end of the game, when you need to, you know, when you need touchdowns, when you need a field goal, like, I just don't trust them to make the right calls to get those things done. I think if you look at the stats in half to have it drives, you're a terrible team. Like, you're a terrible offensive team. Yep. And that's what I look at.
And the other hard part about that, to flip over to defense, your defense is the worst in the Big 12. I just said the offense scores the most, with the most touchdowns and field goals. Well, your defense gives up the most touchdowns and field goals and points and yards. And so you would also want your offense to do maybe milk some clock here and there to give defense some rest, but also you need to score every drive.
Maybe that's where we're being hypercritical. Like, you can't score every drive. Like, at least, you know, Cliff, your defense was terrible, but your offense could keep up. You know, Kittley's offense isn't built to keep up in these kind of shootout games. He needs a absolute dominant defense on that side of the ball.
Oh, God. We're the opposite of that.
And we aren't that, you know. And so, you know, this would be a completely different team if you had a somewhat average defense, which I get is probably got to be frustrating for him. But it's kind of the same thing with Cliff. There was situational stuff that always kind of bit you in the ass and that's the same for Kittley. It's like, you have time. Your defense, when they give you opportunities, you need to capitalize on those opportunities. And so far this season, I feel like you've maybe capitalized once or twice on those opportunities instead of the majority of the time, which
I agree with you there too,
which has to be said, like, has to be brought up. And, you know, maybe it looks different with a better defense. And I get what you're trying to say with Kittley. Like, you got to give him some praise this year. I don't want to be completely down on him, but there's just a lot of things.
I think we just need to pinpoint our argument better than saying he sucks. Like, that's what all Twitter wants to do. It's like, well.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I thought he sucked this entire game until Will Hammond came in. Like, people don't want to point out the fact in the first half that you couldn't score. You needed a fucking field goal kicker to run the ball in when you got the ball at the 4-yard line. Like the offense didn't look great, but defense doesn't look great either. Stats from this game: Barron was 13-22 for 37 yards in the first half, no touchdowns. Hammond was 10-15 for 121 yards and one touchdown. He also had a rushing touchdown. Taj, 30 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown. Caleb Douglas led the receiving corps again for the third straight game, 9 for 140 yards. Coy had 4 for 56 and 1 touchdown. Defensive stats, they did force 3 turnovers. You won. Woo! That's the other shocking part of this game, is you won the turnover battle 3-1.
And you get sacks.
You got 3 sacks. Harvey Dyson with the forced fumble and recovery. CJ Baskerville, a pretty impressive INT. Chapman Lewis and INT off a Harvey Dyson deflection. Your offense gave up, or your defense gave up 344 yards passing, 117 yards rushing. Of course, the club does not open up after a loss. So our predictions for Texas Tech TCU, I had a 42-31 TCU victory. Dustin had a 31-28 Texas Tech victory. I had TCU -6.5. Did not cover that. Dustin had Texas Tech +6.5, so he wins that one.
Great.
I had the over. Dustin had the under in this one, so I win with the over. Dustin loses on the under. Offensive prediction, I had Micah with his best game as a Red Raider. That did not happen.
Nope.
Still does not get played. We were playing Jordan Brown over him. So, but yet, for some reason, when we do play him, we throw him like a one-on-one jump ball.
At one point in this game, for a couple plays, we had true freshman quarterback, running back, and Micah Hudson receiver out there. That's great for those guys, but that's not a good look for your football team.
Not really where you want to be.
3 guys deep into a Big 12 game.
But I thought, you know, I want to shout out Jacoby Williams. I thought he looked great.
Good game, kid.
I thought
he looked great. Yeah, for sure.
And definitely want to see him get a little bit more run out there. If he was a good change of pace back for you. TCU didn't really know what to do when he was out there. Defensively, we were going to hold TCU under 350 yards passing. We did that narrowly as they had 344 yards passing. So I could get that. Dustin had J-Rod with 10-plus tackles. J-Rod only had 5 in this game. So
that's okay. Everybody else kind of showed up.
So it's time to put that game to rest. I know it's been in our minds since that game, ready to get vent and get off about that game.
Yeah.
But it's time to, real quick before we shift our focus to Iowa State, it's time to talk about the helmet comm situation that has been brewing up over the past few days. What are your thoughts on Communigate with TCU Baylor and ESPN reporting today that the Big 12 found nothing of evidence to show that the games were compromised?
So if you've been under a rock for a couple days this week, Joey and Kirby sent in a request or something to look into the helmet comms and hacking of it possibly, and or like it's unsecure or something.
Not encrypted. And
literally a day later, Big 12 is like, yeah, it's all good, guys.
We did have recordings of it, but I guess there's no evidence that Baylor or TCU used the recordings
that sideline or team. From the beginning, I was kind of like, whatever on this, just because I know how the Big 12 works. This is all they're ever going to do. Even if they found something, they're not going to do anything retroactively.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, you know what, Texas Tech, you get 2 wins.
They're not going to give forfeits out and give us 2 wins retroactively or just nullify the games, whatever you want to call it. All that was ever going to come, if there was, this is going to be like a slap on the hand, like a fine for the teams or something. Like, so I'm not surprised they came out and they're like, no, we can't prove anything, but everybody send your helmets and comms in, and we're going to fix that part of it and make them more secure. And the fact that they weren't more secure before is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me was like, why aren't we the ones trying to cheat? We're never the ones trying to cheat to win. Like, it's worked out for a lot of teams for a long time. Cheat to win. The Patriots wrote the book on it. But
find every advantage.
Not even trying to cheat. And it's like, I was never like super invested in this, to be honest.
I wasn't either, unless it like did come out that it was actually cheating. Then I would maybe understand some of the play calling and the coaching staff maybe thinking, we're compromised here. Like, how do we do this? Trying to figure that out in the game would have been interesting. Baylor makes more sense to me just because Baylor was like making the perfect play call every single time.
Sure.
But the TCU game, it didn't really make sense just because of how, like you said, trick or treat that game was. To me, it's just like deflecting off the fact that they're losing and finding another thing to blame rather than taking accountability for where we're at. And so, like, I'm kind of with the fan base on getting frustrated by that. And then it just kind of looks embarrassing that they came out and they're like, yeah, we don't really have anything to prove on that. So it just looks like you cried for no reason. Maybe something did happen. Obviously, they did feel like something did happen enough to report it, but hopefully that didn't take away from prepping for the next game, which is where you head to Ames to face the Iowa State Cyclones this weekend. Ames in November, never a great time. Iowa State so far 7-0, 4-0, Big 12 Conference. One of the best teams in the country right now. Coming off their bye weeks, so they're going to be fresh and ready to go for this one. QB Rocco Beck has thrown for 1,700 yards, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, also has 152 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. They have a 3-man rushing attack with 3 running backs who have over 300 yards, Carson Hansen, Jalen Jackson, and Abu Sama. 2 great receivers and wide receivers, Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. Jalen Noel has 681 yards on the season. Higgins, 563 yards. The two combined for 9 touchdowns so far. They also have a pretty good tight end in Benjamin Brummer. He has 179 yards on the season and 1 touchdown. Big dude, big tight ends always feel like they give us problems, especially Iowa State tight ends for some reason. Their defense has been very opportunistic this season. They forced 15 turnovers so far this season, 12 interceptions, 3 fumbles. So that doesn't seem great for us. Nope. Defense has 9 sacks on the season. They also give up 170 yards rushing and 133 yards passing. So things not looking great for the matchup with the Iowa State Cyclones this weekend. Dustin, what are your thoughts on the matchup?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We have our hands full this weekend. This is by far the most complete and best team we've faced.
Yep.
And coming off their bye week is not great. They also had one of their worst games the week before against UCF. So kind of a self-wake-up call and a lot of good coaching points. So don't love that for us either.
Yeah, the way they were able to pull that one out of their ass. Like, it's like, all right, we got through that one. Realize what's ahead of us and get the bye week to correct everything.
But like, their defense is going to give us a lot of problems. They force turnovers. They're just pretty stingy. I think they are. Oh yeah. Number one in defense in the Big 12. So
great.
Yeah. They've given up 13 touchdowns.
Man.
On the year.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to go well for us this weekend. I think, like you said, I would say it's the best team that we're going to play this season. I think they are great on just kind of every side of the ball. They got a really good offense that can beat you in a lot of different ways.
That's what scares me the most is their offense is just so – you don't have like one standout guy like a T-Mac type dude, but like everybody's just really good.
Yeah.
Like their quarterback doesn't screw up. Rocco is solid. His name is also freaking Rocco, so that's sweet. I hate it that it's a sweet name when he plays good. He doesn't have to do anything special because they have 3 really good running backs. They just rotate and cram down your throats, and then they have 2 really good receivers. And it's like we've been better when we can focus on one thing on a team.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to.
Boy, this is a real bad combination for us, I feel like, especially with how many injuries we've had on defense, especially the defensive line. I feel like they're just going to run it up us so much.
Yeah, it feels like every play your defense has a player who gets hurt. Like they make the great tackle.
You're not making that up. It doesn't feel like that. That is what happens.
That's what happens. We make the tackle that normally hurts the offensive player, but instead it hurts us. Quincy Ledet leaves every game twice with an injury.
Everybody's Jalen Waddle on our team.
Yeah, you're always on your like third string safeties because they can't stay healthy. This is gonna be a physical game. I don't know exactly what the weather's supposed to look like. I'm sure it'll be a nice chill.
You might get lucky with no rain. but right. It's not terrible Ames weather, to be honest. It could be way worse. It's not going to be like the 0 degree time that we played 2 years ago up right. there.
Yeah, 59. So you might get lucky. 59 is the high, so you but know,
a rain chill, maybe, chill, maybe not,
but not cold as yeah, like the last time was freezing. So that's good at least, but yeah, I just think it's going to be a bad game. I don't really want to. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about Barron coming off the injury and starting this one for the offense?
I did want to talk about that.
What do you think that offense is going to look like this week?
I know you're a big, like, let's just play Will Hammond out the gates fan. You mentioned that
I just
a minute
think
ago.
If Barron comes out and looks really bad, like the clamoring for Will is going to get very, very loud. And that's what kind of makes me nervous about it.
I still think it's Barron's job. I just don't want him. And I know they said there's no structural damage. Like, basically he just gave himself a stinger is what I'm hearing from that. But I don't want him going out there thinking he's going to lose his job and he's not healthy.
Yeah.
And then he plays like shit because of that. Because we've seen previous quarterbacks do that. And it doesn't work out well.
Well, he's not even that good to begin with.
The team and the people involved. They just get more injured.
Yeah.
But like, that's my only concern. I want him, or not him, I want Barron to start. If he actually is 100% healthy and can play like he should play. Now, the flip side of that is Kittley, don't run any quarterback draw and power and stupid plays with Barron and a bum shoulder.
I don't trust it. That's probably been the first play of the game. It was like, oh, we had it. It was right there. We had the right way. Yeah.
God, if you could put money on that, you'd probably win a lot.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I feel like Will coming out and being as good as he was is not ideal for Barron because I've never really liked Barron. I from the first time he came on and played, I was like, oh, I see something. But after that, it's, you know, last season, this season, he's just been kind of average. You know, sure, your offense is moving the ball, but we saw what it looked like when he didn't have Taj back there. And I just don't really think he's that good. He's not making the throws. He, like I said earlier, he can't make that throw that Will Hammond made there. He had an opportunity to Micah in one drive, and he threw it 6 yards over the guy's head. Like, he's just not a good quarterback, I don't think. Not the game-winning kind of quarterback. He's a game-manager-type quarterback. And so I think it can get bad for him if he's not good this week. Like, if you come out and
just
if you're terrible, it's going to be like, all right. It might be it for him, and so that does scare me a little bit. Like, he needed Will Hammond to come out and the offense to struggle, and it did not. And so I got a little nervous for that. You think the defense can stop the Iowa State offense this week?
Man, like I said, this is where I'm more scared, is just because this is by far the most complete offense we've played. I mean, you got a very competent quarterback. You also have like a coaching staff in Matt Campbell that's usually doesn't lose games on their own.
Yeah, they play to win.
They play to win, but they also just play not to screw up, is what I mean. You know?
Good clean football for the most
part. And so, like, their three-header rushing attack, I think they're just going to run it up us. Like, I really do. Like, our D-line is so injured that we barely have dudes left. And you said guys get hurt like every play. Honestly, Jalen Noel and Higgins aren't even – they're really good, which scares me, but they're the least of my concerns in this just because of that D-line sucks so bad. I mean, we're going to need to continue with the pressure. We did a good job of that last week until the fourth quarter, and I feel like we got out of it a little bit or didn't do it correctly. I don't know. When you have Macho Stevenson one-on-one –
yeah, not ideal.
With no help if he does get beat. Like, that doesn't make any sense with the game online. So, like, I still think you got to find ways like you did against TCU and Arizona to bring pressure on Rocco with five or six guys. I know our secondary's not the greatest, but at this point I'd rather do the Cliff Olay type defense and let them score quicker and try to create pressure and turnovers, then, I mean, we're letting them score regardless.
You got to speed up the. You got to speed it up for Rocket.
You got to make quick decisions. Quarterback. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, quit just sitting back and letting him play. The other thing about Rocco is he can use his legs. So great. we're screwed there too if yeah. we do.
I don't force have high hopes.
And he gets out. So
yeah, I don't have high hopes for the defense. Let's just go ahead and get on to our predictions.
All right, move on. We're over this.
I'm over this.
Brooks is dressed as a Pink Raider today.
Yeah. I don't donate money, so I don't have a stance. I can't complain about the Red Raiders. thanks, Cody Campbell, for all that you do that you can't afford to do. But some of us are just out here trying to get by, motherfucker.
No kid.
So let's go on the predictions. Your score prediction for Texas Tech, Iowa State.
I got Iowa State winning this one 34-20. No, the spread is 13.5, and so I
right over
do have Iowa State covering that barely. And I got the under on the 56. I'm at 54 there.
My score is going to kind of correlate with a lot 42. Of my predictions in this game. I'm going Iowa State. I've got – this feels a lot like the Texas game last year. It's just like, man, this is going to be bad.
Oh, no.
Defense shut us down. I'm going to go 42 Iowa State to Texas Tech 10.
10?
Yeah, I think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be bad this week. I think Barron's going to look terrible. I think the offense is going to shut down. I think it's going to be bad.
Wow.
And if I set the bar so low, then anything else is a surprise.
Oh, so we're both on the under there.
Both on the under. Both have
both
Iowa
on
State.
The points.
That'll correlate with my offensive prediction is that we're going to score one offensive touchdown.
Wow. Brooks is going negative offensive predictions here.
Yeah, because the positives aren't working. So maybe the negative ones will, I don't know, kick this team into the gear.
I'm going to stick with what I've been doing because it's been hitting. I can't. If you're on red and it's hitting red, you got to stay on red. So I'm going with the 100-yard receiving game again.
100-yard receiver. Okay. Defensively, what are you going with?
I'm going to be on the negative side with you here.
Yeah.
And tell me if this makes sense. You only get crushed on one side of the offense, and not both. Like only rushing or passing. Not both of them crush you.
Okay. So either they're just going to have a great passing or rushing.
Yeah. They go for like 300 and 200. Well, I don't know. I can't really put numbers on it, but you know what I mean.
They're destroy you passing or rushing. Mine is going to be you're going to see the second string quarterback.
Oh, that would hurt. That sucks. Dang it. That's a good one, though.
Because they're going to be up so much on you at the end, and they're going to be like, all right, Rocco,
he's probably going to look awesome, too.
And he's probably going to score.
Baylor put theirs in, and he got a touchdown, so you might as well put a touchdown on this.
That was originally.
Put a touchdown on it.
Yeah, all right. Their second-string quarterback is going to score as many touchdowns as your entire
team. Oh, yes. I wasn't even putting two and two together there. And a touchdown.
I'm just going to, I just don't feel positive about this team, and I think it's headed in the wrong direction.
I just hate the matchup on the defensive side. Like, you're so injured, and they're so, like, complete, and they're going to be coming off their bye week, so they're going to be healthier. So I think that just matches up really terrible for you.
Bad things for the Red Raiders on Saturday from the tailgate talks, guys. Just not a lot of confidence right now, and like we said – I think this last loss was pretty brutal. I think this team's going to wear it. I don't think we have the coaching staff that can shake that stuff off and move on. But that'll do it for our Texas Tech football coverage for the week. Pretty brutal back-to-back weeks covering Texas Tech football, but it's time to
expect another one next week.
Expect another one, but it's time to shift some focus to a sport that might bring us some joy. Coming up, and that's the Texas Tech basketball team as the year two of Grant McCaslin era gets set to tip off Tuesday night against Bethune-Cookman. We're not going to do a total basketball breakdown now, as we've already spent almost an hour talking about football. When the next bye week comes after the Colorado game, we'll probably deep dive the basketball team a little bit more there for you guys. But just wanted to get your thoughts as year two of the McCasland era is about to get underway.
Man, I have a lot of confidence in McCasland and in this team. Like, and Buffington has put together a great roster. This team, the transfers we got all pieced together. We didn't do like the Mark Adams, just get guys and then figure it out. Makes sense. Like, we picked and chose a great point guard, a rim and rebounding power forward to go with our shooters. Like, just the pieces we have that go together so well. And the guys coming back. I mean, Darian, Kerwin, and Chance all went to the Big 12 Media Day last week. I'm sure they did a great job representing us. I'm so glad they're back in here for another one. So I'm very excited. I have very high hopes for us. Now, I do know we are in the best conference, and we are going to finish probably worse than last year. But that is okay.
Yeah.
We are a way should be a way better team come March and in the tournament.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking, and we'll get into that stuff a little bit more. But yeah, you might be worse in the Big 12, but better team and have more success in March this season. I'm excited. I'm ready for this to kick off. Yeah. Nothing like sucking in football makes you want basketball to have some joy in your life. But yeah, I'm excited. Like you said, I think they put together a really good roster here, a deep roster, a roster deep that too, makes sense. You know, excited to see what these guys could do. Excited to see what Elijah Hawkins can do with these guards. Man. And what McCasland said is that they love, you know, like Darian's and Chance's of, and Kerwin's love playing with him because he just gets him the ball and gets them opportunities.
Kerwin's going to shoot like 60% this year.
Yeah, he's going to be awesome. He's going to have so many opportunities. Gonna be awesome. You know, I'm excited to see what a true point guard can do for this team. I'm excited to see Darian Williams in year two here at Tech. He's my favorite player. I'm expecting big things from him. I'm excited to see JT Toppin and what he looks like in the Red Raider uniform. I'm excited to see some of these other guys.
Who's you probably most excited for out of that group there?
Out of the transfers or
just anybody?
I'm excited for Darian. I love watching Darian play. I think he has a really good control of the game. I think he can do just about everything: rebound, defense, absolute elite scorer, efficient scorer. I'm really excited to see him, mainly because I think like his trajectory, if he can turn himself into a maybe first round type draft pick, if JT Toppin is probably second on my list, you know, if he can turn himself into a lottery type pick, like, you're going to have a really good season. And I think that's what the goal is, to let these two guys kind of lead the team. And so I'm excited to have a kind of shot blocker, rim protector, but also rebounder like JT Toppin. Mm-hmm. I don't remember last time we've had a guy who can just like this kind of elite rebounder on your team. And with the size to do it. Because, you know, O'Banner was a pretty good rebounder. He just didn't have the size or athleticism, I think, like that JT Toppin has. So, but excited for that Tuesday night at the United Supermarkets Arena as the Red Raiders hoop season tips off. And we'll be here to discuss that. And as we mentioned, once it gets to the bye week, we'll dive into the roster a little bit deeper, into schedule, make some predictions and all that good stuff. But since we spent a lot of time talking about football, wanted to hit that real quick. And now let's hit our final shots before we get out for the week. Dustin, your final shot this week.
Kind of just backing on years, since the Dodgers won the World Series, that means the Rangers are a year out from being World Series champs. But we have those memories.
Banners hang forever.
That's right.
But yeah, Dodgers win the World Series. Five games. Yankees tried to make it a series, but then had a colossal meltdown in game five.
God, did they ever?
Blew a 5-run lead by just not playing defense and making all the mistakes that you could. I saw like a stat that this is the first team to ever have that many errors, a balk, and a catcher interference all in the same game since like 1912.
Jesus Christ.
So all-time bad defensive performance from the Yankees to blow a 5-run lead and let the Dodgers win the World Series, despite no Shohei Ohtani being all that awesome. It was the Freddie Freeman show. He homered in the first four games of the World Series, which had been six straight World Series games for him to break a record. He was dominant. He won the MVP. Any other thoughts about the World Series and the Dodgers over the Yankees? And I know MLB wanted that one to go like six or seven, and the Yankees just couldn't do it.
I wanted it to go at least six, and the Yankees win this one just to make it, you know, a little more exciting.
Yeah. Dodgers said no. Betts wins his third ring.
Where is he from?
Good job, Red Sox.
Just let him walk out the door. Just
let him go. But baseball's over, so, you know, NBA's up and going, NFL's up and going, so it's a good time of year, good time of sports year. A lot of other things going on to keep you distracted from what's happening with the Texas Tech football team. But we'll be here to recap the Iowa State game next week in our first look at the Texas Tech basketball team as they get their season going. And, of course, we'll be previewing Colorado next week. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. Hope you enjoy your weekends and your tailgates and whatever you're doing to watch the Red Raiders face the Iowa State Cyclones. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.